Summertime and the living is easy.
It's hot. It's a hot day in New York City.
It's hot and I feel really hot.
You look really hot.
I feel very sexually turned on at the moment.
I feel like we had an opening last night. Kristen's incredible show, Rock of Ages, opened at New World Stages. It's a reopen
because
it already had opened years ago, and it's so good. We brought it back. And by we, I mean Kristen.
We
had this, it's like, you know, in a real
marriage.
Right? Yeah. And we had the most fun time last night with lots of fun drinks. And so it's amazing to me that Kristen is sitting in my apartment looking so beautiful because I'm having the opposite experience. I'm in my pajamas.
I love, well, you know, sometimes, and I don't know if this is healthy, but it's true, that when I'm a little hungover, I feel like my channel to the divine is so clear.
Well,
it's like, because there's no resistance.
That's right.
It's almost like I can hear on a different level. So I've had this really fun day of like creativity, enthusiasm, feeling very clear about my life, feeling like I'm sitting in heaven's hand. I have just had this day of feeling so cared for.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's pretty sexy. It's pretty rock
star. It is. It's the same as like when you're sick and, you know, when you're in any kind of altered state of being, it just, you have a tendency to be in deeper surrender.
That's what it is. It's the deep surrender.
And whenever you're in surrender, that voice can be heard. We're actually able to listen.
Yes. We're able to hear the voice that is calling, which brings us to our podcast topic. You guys, because we said it, we got so excited. We see, this is what happens. We had a different podcast topic in mind, right?
Yes.
I really wanted to talk about the misuse of creation, and I was like writing down notes about it, so excited. And then Natalie read this quote to me from one of her clients, and we started talking about how longing is the voice of life.
Well, let's just call it that.
Let's call it longing.
Longing is
the
voice
of life.
We had an alternative title, but it got lost somewhere in the hangover. So I want to share with you, I know this incredible artist, and she actually found me through this podcast. So as we've talked about on the podcast before, I, a few times a year, offer an opportunity to work with me in a 3-month chunk, and you get me really as your hands-on mentor. And so Elizabeth Hawkins, who's amazing, was a listener of our podcast, and she reached out to me and said, I'm interested in taking this 3-month journey with you. And so now I've gotten to know her really, really deeply, and she's an incredible artist, an incredible mother. Her paintings will blow you away, and she is a deep, deep channel. It's amazing to me. Like, I don't even say that I'm her coach. It's just her and I are in like this deep relationship together, and I get so much out of what comes out of her mouth. So she was speaking to me today, and I said, what did you just say? And I made her repeat it. And this is roughly my interpretation of what she said, that the giver of existence speaks to me about purpose through my longing and desire. There was just so much poetry in that for me. And her and I got into a conversation about sometimes the word universe or the word God, it has some stuff around it. People have heard it a million times. It loses its specialness. It loses the absolute bigness of what it is. So the idea of the giver of existence, like the thing that made you, that loved you so much it couldn't resist the temptation to make you, that thing, the giver of existence, speaks to you. And it speaks to you loudly and clearly about what you're here for, what you're here to do, what your purpose is on this planet through your longing and desire. Now, for those of you who listen to our podcast, this isn't new to any of you. We love to talk about desire and pleasure and longing, but how your purpose is communicated through your longings and desire. So we live in a culture that's really strongly told, especially women for a long time, subdue those longings, subdue those desires. Those things are dangerous. Those things get you into trouble. Put those things on a shelf. Be responsible. Don't do those things. but that our purpose and the reason of our being is communicated through those places that we've been told to put away and shut down, is an opportunity to say, well, then let me turn the volume up even more.
That's it. And if we think of the giver of existence, that thing which causes life to be, as, and when we think of life, right, we know life comes through sex, right? Things are born into being. And how does sexual attraction happen, right? Longing, desire. I go this way and something is born. Mm. So we know from just looking at how humans are created that life, what wants to be birthed, comes through longing and desire. And so it is with ourselves, right? Mm. So when we look at those things that turn us on, that make our heart feel on fire, that is life saying, go this way. In fact, and I've said this before on the podcast, if you think of a universe that made you out of love, wouldn't it also use love to motivate and inspire you?
Ugh.
Right?
Ugh.
So I've been doing this thing recently where I don't do goals anymore. I just do desires.
Mm.
What are my 3-month desires? Well, then that's what the universe wants for me.
Yeah.
What's my desire for this month? What's my desire for the day? Like we talk about our desire list.
Yeah.
So the deeper I get into my desires, it's actually the deeper I get with God.
Mm.
And when I operate under the precept of whatever it is where that desire is what is already prepared for me.
Mm. Yes, that the second you have the desire, it means it's already been prepared for you. It's like when you smell food and then you want to have it. You can smell it because it's already there for you. It's been made for you. The table has been set. Your listening, your acknowledgement of the thing, your sensorial experience of your desire for the thing is just the thing that moves you towards it.
That's
right. It's already there.
It's already there. So it's almost like that desire is just because I have that for you.
It's already there.
And so when we think of like Abraham Hicks, like I've heard them a lot lately, and the way that I'm interpreting some of their teaching is you're not enjoying your desire.
Mm.
Because the way we've been conditioned in our culture to turn off our desire, right, which is a great way to get people to not be powerful.
Mm.
You can get people to turn off their desire and their longing, they will be disempowered. So if we want empowerment, the first thing we do is turn on our desire, turn on our longing, let it be all the way up, and then enjoy it. Mm. So they're saying when you do, like, Abraham Hicks is saying, if you don't enjoy your desire, you're cutting yourself off at the pass. It's there to be enjoyed. It's there to be relished. And the reason we don't enjoy it is because we think we can't have it.
Mm.
So once we know it's already prepared for us, now we just get to get in the yumminess of like, I can smell it. It's coming from the kitchen. The chef is cooking it up. And I think often of you and what a delicious manifester you are, and how you have this beautiful French lover, and you fully manifested that shit.
I really did.
You had the desire and you got turned on by it.
Yes.
And then it just like came straight to you.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes people will say, well, does it take a long time? Or, you know, like, do you have to, like, have your vision board up and then you look at it every day? And it's like, no. Like, that would be like thinking, theoretically, I want to have an orgasm and then trying to focus really hard on having one. Does that make sense? That's not fun. And it doesn't bring me any closer to it. The name of desire is not let me think my way to it.
Ugh.
The name of desire is let me feel my way to it.
Oh, now you're making me feel things. Oh, the name of desire. I can't think my way into an orgasm. I have to feel my way into an orgasm.
And it's different every time.
Yes.
Every manifestation is different. Your moving towards it is the point.
Right.
The desire is here and available and ready for you. Who you become as you move towards it is more important than the receiving of the desire. Because who you are when you decide, my desires are holy, I'm allowed to have them, I'm allowed to want them, and I'm allowed to move towards them, Once you take that stand, the getting of the desire becomes actually very irrelevant, because the person who gets to it has been transformed by it before it even touches them.
And if it doesn't feel good, you're probably not doing it right.
Right.
Right? So that's just something to notice of, like, when I have created resistance or traction, it means that, like, I've somehow made this tougher than it needs to be. And that's the beautiful thing about feeling our way there. If we can find ourselves moving in the direction of those things that feel good, ooh, does this feel light? Ooh, does this feel joyous? Does this feel like, is this lifting me up? Then it's lifting me in the direction of where I'm going.
Yeah.
So being able to just recognize, and it's often our thoughts that are the things that become the obstacle.
Yeah.
So when we can just witness our thoughts, I was reading Louise Hay today with one of my clients. I've been having him work through You Can Heal Your Life, because we've noticed that he's really addicted to negative thinking. Mm. So he came in my apartment and he immediately just launched into a tirade of, like, this is what's wrong with this theater company, and this is what's wrong with my father, and this is what's wrong with... And I was like, hold up. He started telling me what's wrong with Create. Like, it was really funny. And I was like, guess what we're going to do? We're going to play something. We're going to play a little fun game. We're going to... I want those three things that you just, like, talked about. Can you find... I want you to find three good things in them, right? Because wherever there is good, there is God. And I think is what is occurring is you're addicted to negative thinking, right? Which is always going to put you in the place of being a victim.
Mm.
And so there's changes you want to see in your life, but... until you make a decision to look for good, good can't find you.
Yeah.
So we actually ended up having so much fun then, is really actively, like, looking for the good that already exists.
Because it's all there.
It's all there.
If I want to complain, I can go on a tirade.
Yes.
And if I want to find the good, I can find it.
That's right.
But the mechanism is to go for the thing that doesn't feel good. And we have to get that we've been conditioned to do it so we could be controlled.
That's right.
We have to get that owning our power and knowing ourselves as powerful creators is as simple as not complaining.
Right.
It's as simple as taking a stand for there's good here, and I go where it feels good. I go where it's warm. You know, psychology actually says that 90% of what we think is just what we thought yesterday.
Whew.
That we are so inundated in the past, and what's been going down in the past that we don't like, and replaying things in the past that hurt us, that we're actually not creating anything powerfully in this moment because we're not in it.
That's exactly right. And this moment is our present point of power. So it was so fun today to reread Louise Hay, and she was like, it's like, you know, it's like reading, like, it's almost like primary school all over again, and it's so fun to go back and read it. And just rereading her words, where she says, whatever you're getting in form is because of the thoughts you're thinking.
Mm.
If you want to change the form, change your thoughts. And so you can look at your thoughts and say, what am I thinking about on an active basis? What are those habitual thought patterns that have been passed down from my parents, from society, that are creating the form around me?
Yes.
And now if I want to be powerful, and I know so many women listen to this podcast, and now is the time of the rise of the divine feminine, of women stepping into their power. And if we really want to be empowered, we'll learn how to listen to our longing and desire, and learn how to look for the good and think the thoughts that create the good.
There's a reason that longing and desire has been repressed.
Mm.
Because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous to the form that wants to control it.
That's right.
But it is not dangerous to the one who has it.
That's right.
What's dangerous is repressing it, because all of that very powerful energy has nowhere to go but live destructively inside of you. That creative spark, if it's not able to give birth to what it wants to, then it has to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be this decaying process of your spirit and your purpose and your animating force. And then you will wake up 5 years later and wonder why you feel so much worse.
Mm.
Because it's not just that you're thinking the same 90% of the thoughts as the day before, but it's that this real, palpable, powerful energy has nowhere to go, and so it's decaying inside of you. and it's making you feel heavy, and it's making life feel more disconnected, and it's making it feel more difficult to get to joy. It's making it more difficult to even imagine what ecstatic might feel like. It's making it more impossible to surrender enough to want to have a sexual experience because there's so much to do in the day that's surrounded with routine and busyness and the obstacle of fatigue. But the fatigue is caused by the inner longing that's eating itself alive inside of you. And the energy comes from releasing it and exposing it. And it may feel scary to some paradigms in your life. There are some towers that may be built in your life that may be torn down,
yes,
by the releasing of this desire.
Yeah.
So it feels like in order to avoid destruction, I will keep it inside. But the thing that you're destroying is yourself.
That is it. And you don't realize that you're doing it to yourself. You're keeping your happiness on some sort of layaway plan. And often it's because at the root of who you are, you believe you don't deserve to have what you want. And where did that idea of being unworthy come from? That's one of the things that's been on my heart lately, is where did we get stripped of knowing our own worthiness? That we don't have to earn anything. We just get it because we're here. We get it because we are children of existence, so that we can sit and receive and say, I am allowed to have my desires. And it's not about trying to prove to some reluctant deity that I deserve it, or some force in the world, some unnamed person. Can we just like wrap our arms around ourselves and go, I get this because I am here. I'm allowed to have it all. I think we can't tell each other that message enough.
I agree. I find that what our favorite thing to do is go around the world reflecting to people how great they look in their outfit, or
yeah,
you know, how big their smile, yeah, is, or how they made our day, yeah, with their positive energy. And it's just looking for it. It's looking for any opportunity to look inside another human being and draw the worth to the forefront so they can know their desire and longing for more. And they will stop being in this repetitive pattern of saying every day has to be the same and I'm not allowed to have. You were born to have. This is an endless buffet of things we get to have and experience. I mean, airplanes were built. We can go anywhere on this huge planet. We can go anywhere. You could wake up tomorrow morning and walk to an airport and say, where does the next flight leave to? And you could go there.
Oh, there's so many places to go. There's so many adventures on this planet to have. Our minds can't even conceive of how big and how beautiful and how exciting it gets.
And there's only one place you're not going, and it's the one inside.
Oh!
And that's the one.
That's the one.
And you can't expect anyone else to want to go there if you don't want to go there. And that's the treasure trove. And you will only be able to know yourself and your purpose when you can know your longing and desire without guilt, without shame, without story, without complaint, without wishing you had someone else's longing and desire.
That's right.
When you can meet yourself and whatever it is that you long for with perfect, compassionate acceptance, then you will know your true power and you will know why you are here.
That's the truth. It makes me feel like the inner journey is so much about, hey, spirit, tell me about the longing and desires that you have inside that I don't even know about yet.
Mm.
Whisper to me, talk to me, tell me about them, delight me. Like, let me read the menu and get so, like, let my appetite get big. Also, I do want to talk about appetite,
yeah,
and how we're told not to have a big appetite, how we're told to keep our appetite small. But I just want to say, fuck that. I want to have a big appetite. for food, for travel, for life experience, for money, for adventure, for success, for lovers, for it all. Like, I want to say yes to having a giant appetite because I get to.
Yes. And if we think about in the energetic anatomy of that, the power center, that third chakra, the solar plexus, the I am center, that is the center of knowing who you are and the strength and the will to bring that oneness, that knowingness forward into the planet. And the shadow of it is ego and shame. And so the ego has a game. And the ego's game is always that something is better and something is worse. And that is how the only game the ego knows how to play. All the ego knows how to do is tell you where you fall on the scale of separation. Someone is better and you feel worse. Someone is worse and you feel better. It only knows how to be inferior to something or superior to something. And both, according to yoga, are afflictions of the mind that are based in distorted perception.
Wow, thank you for that.
So anytime you find yourself looking around and saying, well, it's easier for that person.
Yes.
Or that desire isn't holy. Or, you know, I don't have as much as that person. Or that person got something I wanted. It is an untruth based on a mental affliction that you have that is based on a distorted perception of reality. Because the only truth that there is that the I am source inside of you is actually the only one that there is.
That is it. That is.
There is no other person walking around with your consciousness.
No.
And so it can't be compared. I can compare my foot to your foot because that's not really what I am. That's the form that my animating spirit is deciding to take on in this incarnation. But what I really am, my consciousness, my life force, my prana, that is incomparable to anything. So the minute the ego wants to say more than, less than, better, worse, I've gotten further away from me so I could get into a story of an untruth. And in order to get back into my will and my power, I have to claim my rightful space. And it comes up from the second chakra, which is longing, desire, passion, creativity, sexuality, feelings, and emotions.
Sometimes when you talk, I get so inspired and so turned on, I literally want to take my clothes off. And I know I talk about taking my clothes off a lot on this podcast, but like what comes out of your mouth blows my mind. And as you were talking, I also got this image of everything. Well, did you say that we all have this individual consciousness? No one has the consciousness that you have. And at the same time, because all spiritual laws paradox, everything is also you, right?
Yes.
So at the same time,
it's all
time,
you and it's all one.
Exactly. So I like to think of there is one animating energy animating us all. So the life force, the energy, the intelligence that comes out of you is also the same life force energy that comes out of me, and yet we serve different functions.
Right.
So yesterday we were talking to someone about create, and we were joking about how you take everyone into the depth of their pain and then I take everybody high, and we were kind of laughing about it, but we both have a little bit of that in us, that so we serve different functions, though it's the same energy.
Right.
So there is no competition ever, right?
Ever.
Like, I was joking with Chris Dorenzo with you of, like, how in Rock of Ages, he's, like, the funny, sarcastic, dark one, and I'm the light, rainbows, and butterflies, and unicorns, but we both have a little bit of the other in each other, too.
Yes.
And how it's like, well, it's the same energy. It's the same genius in both of us serving different functions.
Yes.
And so last night after we did notes for Rock of Ages, we circled up. And we did a very create-like exercise where we just went around and we talked about what we were feeling. Like, we just said what we were feeling in the moment and what the experience was like for us. And you could feel this energy in the circle of, this is all the same energy. But everyone in that circle is serving a different function. Leah, the hot dancer. She's so hot.
Oh.
I could watch her dance forever and like, it's just, she's smoking. doesn't serve the same function as Mitch Jarvis, who's our like comedic lead, but both are valuable, necessary, and needed. And together, when everyone is doing their function, the whole is served. So that's what society, that's what we're doing in our culture and society, is if we can all learn how we can fulfill our function, and we do that through following that thing that we love.
You know, it's funny you were saying earlier that you had a throwback with Louise Hay, because just today I was listening to Gabby Bernstein, and it's been a total hot minute since I've been engaged with any of her work. And she was doing this talk, and she said, obstacles are a detour in the right direction.
Oh!
And what she was saying is all those things that are showing up in your life that you think are a problem are the thing leading you in the right direction. Because all the things where I want to say, well, that girl has a better body than me, or this person has a better husband than me, or this...
Yeah.
Any time we want to get into that ego separation, then we see, oh, there's an obstacle in me. And the looking at that obstacle and saying, what's the longing underneath the obstacle? That's the pathway to freedom.
The longing underneath the obstacle is the pathway to freedom. That's delicious.
So for every obstacle that shows up in your life, and you can think of an obstacle as just the thing you want to complain about.
Yeah, sure.
If all suffering is the inability to accept life exactly as life is... then the complaining, the whining, the negative thoughts, the wanting life to be any different than it is, we'll call that the obstacle. So if I, you know, was looking at the amount someone else has in their bank account and feeling envious of that and feeling upset that I didn't feel the same access to that, then I can say, thank you. Thank you for that information. Because underneath that information is the longing in me to know my value and be paid for it. So let me spend no more time in the distraction of the obstacle.
Yes.
But instead, so what inside of me is having an inability claiming my value?
Yeah.
Where did it start? Why doesn't it work for me anymore? Why have I kept it for so long? Because there's a payoff to it. Otherwise, it would be gone already. What's it actually feeding in me? And once I start asking those questions, I start opening the door to my own worth, value, and prosperity. Then when I look and see someone else have it, I want to applaud it. I want to celebrate it.
That's right.
Even if they have more than me.
Yeah.
Because I no longer feel disconnected from it.
Yes.
I only want to hoard it or take it when I feel like I don't also have it. And so when we go back to the energy is one, whatever they have, you do have.
Right.
And the only thing that needs to be moved is the consciousness around the fact that you don't get to have it and you don't get to want it.
Payoff is really interesting. I'd love to dive into that for a second. It reminds me of, and I've talked about it before, when Carolyn, I think her name's Carolyn Elliott, who runs Witch Magazine, talks about existential kink.
Yeah.
Like you're getting off on the thing that is repressing or suppressing you in your life. So that you like keep yourself in financial scarcity, because on a deep level, subconscious level you won't look at, you like it. Because it allows you to be in your victim story. So payoff. So question for you.
Yeah.
Is there a payoff that you have found that you were getting from a story that wasn't serving you?
Yes. Yeah. I had something really big come up today, actually. So I have been taking a stand to work with people more intimately and create higher offerings.
Yep.
So offerings where you get real intimacy with me and you get a higher level of working with me than just, you know, paying for a 1 hour session.
Yeah.
Where I'm working with you for 3 months or 6 months. And so of course these higher offerings, because there's a ton of time and a ton of value added, the price point goes up considerably. And so I had someone today say, yes, I want to give you this amount of money to work with you in this way.
Yeah.
And I felt myself completely unable to receive the joy of it. It was almost like I was just like, okay, I'll send an email, I'll send the contract, going on with my life, go pick up my dinner. And there was an inability to receive this incredible gift of this person's trust, this relationship I get to build with this person, this opportunity to play with this person on such a deep level.
Yeah.
And I said, so what is it in me that is having a hard time really receiving that. And if I take a stand really for my own worth, then I will no longer need to be rescued by anyone.
Ooh.
And if no one rescues me, will I still be loved?
Uh-huh.
Will anyone still show up if I don't need to be rescued?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
That I've lived in an old story that I need to be rescued. I need to be saved. I need to be taken care of. I need a partner to take care of. I need my emotional needs to be taken care of by someone else. I need, you know, help. I need help.
Yeah.
So what happens if I don't need help? Then I don't know myself.
Right.
Right? And if I really stand in that level of power, then everything that has been built on all the ways it feels really good when someone comes in and rescues you.
Yeah.
Does that have to go away? Do I never get to be rescued again? Do I feel really alone now?
I'll come rescue you if you want, but I know you don't need rescuing.
And you can hear as I'm saying all these thoughts how silly they are.
Yeah. Do you know something that has happened to me sometimes in our friendship? When I know you're going through something, the mental thought, because I know our thoughts create worlds, is I will think to myself, Natalie has everything inside of her to handle this and soar at it.
Mm.
Like I try to think that consciously as a way of seeing you as someone who is victorious.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah. And not someone who needs to get rescued.
Yes.
As a way of kind of like undoing... Like, you know...
I'm doing that story.
That story.
And it is interesting. I know exactly why this is coming up. Because my word of the year is responsibility. And so if you take responsibility, then everything that happens is on you.
Ooh.
Right? The good, the bad, the ugly. If someone else is taking responsibility and you just get to be saved, if it goes wrong, it's not on you. So actually, at the root of it, it's... I just still... want people to like me. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want anything to ever be wrong. I don't want to ever be responsible for hurting someone else or for something else going wrong. And so if someone else does it, then I'll never really have to be responsible.
Well,
but if I'm never really responsible, then I never really get to know myself and my purpose. And the longing is to know the power of the impact we can make on this planet when we take a stand for who we are.
That's so good. And when it makes me think in terms of payoff, and the reason I was asking you about it is I think so much of the payoff for places I'm stuck in my life have to do with a desire to be liked. And the fear, and I know that this is universal, so it's why I'm talking it out, is a fear of if I shine too bright, other people might not like me. Or it might make someone else feel bad, right? Yeah. It's that, like, top hobby thing that I know that we've talked about. And a willingness to be unliked is a very courageous thing.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, what always ends up happening is you end up inspiring people more often than not, right? Showing people what's possible.
Right.
But being willing to stand for the truth of your longing. Stand for the truth of your desire.
And here's something I've been thinking about recently in terms of being liked. If you don't take a stand to be outwardly disliked, then you will always be taking a stand to dislike yourself. Because you will know that there's a more courageous person in you that you aren't standing for.
That's right.
So there will be an innate, I don't like you,
inside.
Happening inside.
Right. So there's something to be like, I'm standing for the courageous me. And I'm fully accepting myself by allowing myself to be seen. I'm fully loving myself and accepting myself by being willing to share it.
Right. And it's really interesting, but the best actors, artists that you look at are the ones that polarize you.
Yes.
The best performances are the ones where half the people leave saying I loved it and half the people leave saying they hated it.
That's right.
That's the art that makes real great change in the world. You know, I mean, I love... The Harry Potter books were rejected by 7 publishers.
I think it was 30, like some ridiculous like that.
It's like, and we, you know, all of these stories of like everything that's on the cutting,
yes,
leading edge,
yes,
is always dismissed and disliked because no one's seen it before.
Mm.
And so the choice, I'm going to stay small so that I am liked, is a choice to say, I'm not going to do what I came here to do.
I'm going to stay like everybody else.
I'm going to stay like everybody else.
As opposed to living the path that has never been forged before.
Right. And that's where desire and longing always wants to take us. It always wants to take us to the next level experience. It's not interested in repeating. The way the mind is interested in repeating those same 90% of those thoughts we had yesterday, desire is always new. Desire is ever moving, ever changing. If you really get in touch with your desire, it may say you want to eat the same food as yesterday, but maybe not at the same time and not in the same place and not wearing the same thing and not with the same person.
Uh-huh.
The desire is always moving.
Desire is always giving birth to something new. So the leading edge of spirit is to listen to desire because it is trying to birth something that's never happened before. So when we're not checking in and we're not listening and we're not asking what our desire is, that's when we're coasting on an old paradigm as opposed to forging a new one.
And it's what Abraham Hicks says of, it's supposed to feel good. It's meant to feel good. The way to make change in your life is to feel good. And and this is something I talk with my coaching clients all the time. It's to the exclusion of your current circumstances. It's, I want to feel so good because of the vision I have for my good.
Yes.
And my current circumstances can be no money in the bank, or it can be a failed relationship, or it can be that I can't get a job, or it can be that I'm sleeping on my friend's couch. That can be the truth of your current circumstance. And there's a vision of your good that you can still live into no matter what's going on around you.
It makes me think of Michael Beckwith when he says, there's a good that is trying to be birthed through me. There's a good that's trying to happen through me. So when we catch a vision, we're catching a vision for this good that is like this baby that wants to be birthed through us, this life that wants to come through us. So believing in that vision is saying, yes, life, I will allow you to do this through me. And how I will allow you to do this through me, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm moment by moment going to check in and do the next thing that feels good.
And here's the great news. The deeper the longing, the bigger the desire, bigger the possibility. So if you're sleeping on a friend's couch and you have no money and you can't get a job, I'm pretty sure the desire and the longing inside of you to break out of this too small life is going to be much stronger.
I mean, that is literally how I started my spiritual breaking open, was like sleeping on my friend's couch without a job.
Yeah.
And there was something inside of me that was like, literally felt like it was going to break out of my chest.
Yeah.
Speaking of desires, I have this burning desire to talk about the misuse of creation, and I have absolutely no idea how it fits into this talk.
I love it.
But I'm just going to share it, and I'm going to trust your channel to know how it fits.
Great.
Do you love that?
Love it.
And we're going to do this within the last few minutes we have. So this thing drops in this week about, if everything in life was given to us for our joy and enjoyment, we pervert it with our perception of it, right? So if my body was given to me for my delectable enjoyment of it, if I'm not enjoying my body, I've perverted it, right? Same thing with food. Food was given to us for joy, for pleasure, for the yumminess of being alive. But when we look at food and see it as something negative, or use it to either deprive ourselves or punish ourselves, then we have misused creation. And the same thing happens with partners, right? Flirting, interaction, chemistry, it is here for our joy. Romance is here because life is meant to be fun. And the moment we start to criticize or pull away or predict negative outcomes, we are misusing creation.
Mm.
So it just is this thing that like dropped in my lap this week. I was in rehearsal and it like just dropped in. I was like, okay, I gotcha. I'm listening. And I was like, whoa. So if I am not viewing creation through the eyes of this is here to delight me, then I've taken something beautiful when I use it to hurt me.
The misuse of creation is the subjugation of our longing.
Ooh.
The misuse of creation is when we say no to the deep desire. It's a misuse of the instrument that we were given.
That's right.
To say, not that music.
That's right.
And then we sit and rot with this music inside of us because we're so worried, will those ears like it and will those ears like it? So I better just keep it inside. But that wasn't what this instrument was born to do, to sit and collect dust. And so if we, as the instruments of creation, are just sitting and not being played and not enjoying the sound of ourselves, then we're taking up a space that isn't ours.
So we, like all the things that are here to be enjoyed, our very soul is here for our own enjoyment.
That's right.
Our very dreams are here for our own enjoyment.
It wants to hear our poetry. It wants to sing our songs. It wants to dance our dance. The universe, the giver of existence, actually wants to know itself through our life.
It is life itself birthing through us. It is that all that is coming through us. So when we block our desires, we're blocking the all.
So the way we receive from the giver of existence is by giving existence back to the giver.
And say yes.
I say yes to every desire, every longing, every dream, every nuance, every charm. Yeah. I say yes, and I let life experience life through the canvas of my body, through the instrument of me. And then existence itself is forever changed by getting the experience of life lived through me, through my soul consciousness, through the consciousness of oneness. That has now enlivened the planet in a way that it could never have experienced itself without our presence.
And I want to say this like prayer right now that is, let me know my truest desires. Let me be filled up with the things that spark joy within me as my individual fingerprint, as my the signature of my soul. May I know in advance that I am so ever worthy of everything that lights me up, turns me on, and makes me a larger space for life to flow through.
Here is to your longing. Here is to your deepest desires. Here is to you knowing that everything that you want and long for and love and are ravenous for is already here for you. It's already ready, and all you have to do is say yes.
Yes. We need to sign off, but do you want to tell our beautiful audience really quick? I know you talked a little bit about your fun offerings.
Yes.
But do you want to...
Well, if you just want to come and hang with me and be my best friend, there's a way to do it. So I have two offerings going on right now. One is a three-month VIP one-on-one course. You can find out about that on our newsletter, or you can email me and I can give you more information about that. And the second one is my three-month course of how to activate your life, how to live your best life, how to move into longing and desire, pleasure and purpose, away from those limiting stories and beliefs. Here's how we can notice the 90% of those thoughts that we don't want to be having, and here's how we can completely dismantle them and create new neural pathways so we can be living the rad life that we're supposed to be here living. And you can start in September, because that's when my next course starts. So if you're interested in any of that, you can just shoot me an email. It's my name, Natalie Lynn Roy, NatalieLynnRoy @gmail.com. And I would love to jam with you about it. And I'm about halfway through my first three-month course. It's so rad.
And I would love just to tell people that if they have any interest in writing something, if one of the longings or desires in your heart right now is you're like, there is a book, there's a novel, there's a play, there's a musical, there is a story that I am meant to tell, then I have, on our website, I have my writing course that has helped so many people get into that channel space and allow that story to come through them. I know it will be written through you. So it's really about just getting out of the way so it can really get up onto the page. Mm-hmm. You can go to www.thecreateseries.com and you can get that. You can get it half off if you do it before July 1st. But July 1st, it's going to be back to its original price. So you better get on it.
You better start now.
We love you.
We love you. And we love your longings.
I was just about to say that.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?